Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 32-33. Pranapano sanirudyat parakumbhakare chakai yavan manastyajat kaman sva nasagra nirikshanaha Yato nischo nisarati manakama hatam brahmat tatastata niparitya ridhi rudach trinar buddha. Prana, incoming breath. Apano, outgoing breath. Sani rudyat should stop. Parakumbhaka re chakai by inhaling, exhaling, and holding, which is technically known as paraka, kumbhaka, and re chaka. Yavat, so long. Manaha, the mind. Tyajat, should give up. Kaman, all material desires. Sva, one's own. Nasa agra, the tip of the nose. Nirikshanaha, looking at. Yata, yata, from whatever and wherever. Nisarati, withdrawers. Manaha, the mind. Kamahatam, being defeated by lusty desires. Brahmat, wandering. Tata, tata, from here and there. Uparitya, after bringing it back. Riddhi, within the core of the heart. Rundyat, should arrest the mind. Shanai, gradually by practice. Buddha, a learned yogi. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practices the breathing exercises through the technological means known as paraka, kumbhaka, and rechaka, controlling inhalation and exhalation, and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up all mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drift towards feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. Purport. The practice of yoga is concisely explained here. When this practice of yoga is perfect, one sees the super soul, the paramatma, feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. However, in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, the Lord says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana sharavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendent loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. A devotee can immediately become a perfect yogi, because he practices keeping Krishna constantly within the core of his heart. This is another way to practice yoga easily. The Lord says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. One practices devotional service by always keeping Krishna within the core of his heart. Manmana, he immediately becomes a first-class yogi. Furthermore, keeping Krishna within the mind is not a difficult task for the devotee. For an ordinary man in the Bali concept of life, the practice of yoga may be helpful, but one who immediately takes the devotional service can immediately become a perfect yogi without difficulty. So the translation again, continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practices the breathing exercises through the mechanical means known as paraka, kumbhaka, and rechaka. Controlling inhalation, exhalation, and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up all mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drifts towards feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. The aim of yoga is to connect with Krishna. And to connect with Krishna means to think about Krishna. Because thinking about Krishna is not different from actually associating with Krishna. Namas Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purno Shudo Niti Mukto Vinatvat Nama Namino. That Krishna and his name are Vinatvam Nama Namino. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. Similarly, there's no difference between Krishna's form and Krishna, Krishna's qualities and Krishna, Krishna's activities and associates in Krishna. They're all simultaneously one and sometimes different. So, somehow or another, yena tena patakarena manakrishna niveshya. Somehow or another, fix the mind upon Krishna. Now, what was easily done in Krita Yuga, in Satya Yuga, that is, one did not have to go through any mechanical process, practically speaking, although we find Kadama Muni went through a mechanical process for 10,000 years, and then he realized the super soul within his heart. But that was considered to be, since people lived for 100,000 years, that would be like in our days, you know, just practicing a little yoga until you're 10 years old and then getting perfection. 10,000 years back then was comparable to 10 years in our lifetime. But krite tadhyayato vishnu, to meditate upon Krishna in krita yoga and satya yoga simply meant that as that Brahmin in the nectar of devotion, he sat down, did a little pranayama, and then he started to worship the deity within his mind. Now, that's ordinarily not possible for most people in Kali Yuga, or even in Treta Yuga. Because in Treta Yuga, lusty desires increased to some degree, greed increased to some degree, and therefore sacrifice had to be introduced so that people could, instead of becoming more and more greedy, could sacrifice some of their accumulated wealth into the fire for Vishnu, and therefore their minds would become purified, and then they'd be able to perform meditation. Now we find that Purushrava, he was on the cusp of Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, and when Treta Yuga came, he started to perform sacrifice, but not to worship Vishnu, but to reunite with Urvashi in the heavenly planets. So sacrifice was there in Treta Yuga. It could be utilized for spiritual advancement, or it could be utilized for material advancement too. People could not, we find in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumara was chanting Hare Krishna. Well, actually he was chanting a Gopal mantra, but then that's Gopal and Krishna the same. Madan Mohan. Oh, actually, Madan Gopal he was worshiping. And he was chanting his mantra, and by chanting his mantra, he went from Vrindavan to become a king eventually in a nearby kingdom. And then from there, he became the king of Jagannath Puri. Then eventually he became Indra as a result of chanting his mantra. Of course, in the commentaries explains that this is over many lifetimes. It's not that one day he was chanting his mantra and suddenly he became the king of Puri. Woke up one day and found a crown on the side of his bed. Happy birthday from Gopal. No, this is out of lifetimes, but by chanting, his mind became purified, so after leaving his body in one lifetime, he was elevated to a higher position in his next lifetime. And this went on for many lifetimes, being elevated from one stage of material existence to the next. Because he had heard about the glories of one kingdom or another kingdom or one planet or a higher planet. Now, in all those planets, they were worshiping Krishna, and therefore his aspiration to go to that place and worship Krishna there was granted by Krishna. He wasn't chanting his mantra to take a vacation in Hawaii. He was chanting his mantra in order to go to a place where he could do better service, at least he thought, than he was already doing. And Krishna granted that one lifetime after another. Until finally he went to the, he almost merged in Brahman. Yeah, long story of all his different levels of consciousness, all the different places one could obtain, both in the material world and the spiritual world, whether Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or Dwarka or Goloka Vrindavan. In any case, the yoga process is to fix the mind upon Krishna. Now, those who fix the mind upon Krishna by the yoga process may have some motivation depending upon who's inspiring them to do it. In other words, we can only go far as our inspiration goes. There are people who are fixing the mind upon Krishna because they think, by one way or another, even by the yoga process, because they think they're going to become Krishna if they do that. They're going to merge into Krishna and become Krishna. Become Paramatma. Rarely in this age, anyone's going to take up the process of yoga the idea of becoming a servant of Paramatma. Those type of persons who give such inspiration, you might be able to find one of them in the Himalayas if you search for a couple of lifetimes. Other than that, people are chanting Om, not to become a servant to Krishna, but to merge into Om. Therefore, our association is very important because it may appear that someone's practicing yoga, because nowadays yoga means, for most people, it means a group of exercises created by someone's imagination just to stretch out the limbs a little bit, get the digestion going. But that is little to do with the actual yoga, although asana is included, but here it mentions pranayama. And even pranayama, controlling the mind to become peaceful, oftentimes in the current yoga societies, becoming peaceful so you can enjoy with a peaceful mind and become agitated again. After trying to enjoy the material world and becoming agitated, getting frustrated, then one goes to meditation and practices pranayama so one can reduce the agitation, frustration. It's called hati snan. The elephant bathes very nicely in the river, cleanses itself very nicely, comes onto the land and just throws all kinds of dirt all over itself. So what was the sense of bathing itself in the river if it's going to throw dirt all over itself? And the idea of from pranayam comes pratyahara, detachment from sense gratification. So when that peacefulness comes, one is supposed to cultivate the peacefulness, not utilize as an opportunity to enjoy more. It's like the devotees sometimes fast, and then they find they enjoy more when they, after the fast, the feast tastes better. Anyhow, eating prasadam every day, like today we have a normal day, prasadam, big deal, we do it every day. But when there's a fast day, oh, we start thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to eat today. Then suddenly prasadam becomes more in our consciousness, it becomes more important. It becomes more, oh, I should have honored prasadam. Now I understand I really need prasadam. And then when it's time for prasadam, oh my God, what a fantastic time. Suddenly lunch becomes a celebration. Even we hear the Sharira Vigil prayer, it's louder than it usually is. Sharira Vigil, like Tom and Diet. Sarira Vidya. Everyone sings it with more enthusiasm. And everyone seems much more satisfied, content, happy that prasadam's there. It even looks more beautiful than it did yesterday. So similarly, when people restrain from sense gratification by some means or another, but if their aim is to enjoy sense gratification through even the yoga process, then it's considered a waste of time. Like the vulture goes very high in the sky. It has very nice eyesight, but its aim is just to look on the ground to see if it can find a dead body. So the yoga system doesn't stop at simply pranayama. It goes on to pratyahara. And pratyahara doesn't stop there either. It's not the end of the yoga system. One becomes detached so that one can... And then by that method, one merges into Brahman forever. No, the next stage is dharana. Actually, dhyana. Contemplating the super soul. Actually, dharana. To try to fix the mind upon the super soul. To hold the mind there on a form, not on something impersonal. And then dhyana, to meditate upon the super soul. And then finally, samadhi. So if one only understands part of the yoga system, it's like trying to accept half the hen. You like the part of the hen that gives the egg, but the part that eats all the food you don't like. So you think, well, why waste my money with trying to feed this chicken? Let me just cut off its head so it doesn't have to eat, and I'll just take the part that gives the egg. Keep that part. Simply to take to the yoga process and not understand what the aim of it is, simply will not yield any permanent benefit. Similarly with the Krishna consciousness movement, unless we understand that the aim of our activities is to fix the mind upon Krishna and devotion, we may do so many services, and at the end of the day, we don't even know who we did it for. We can't remember what we did. Then it's considered to be... Not a waste of time, but almost a waste of time. We should know what we're doing it for and who we're doing it for. And we should be able to judge whether we're actually going forward or we're going backwards. If we don't know where we're going, we don't know if we're making any progress. If you want to go from here to Zagreb, you see a sign, 50 miles, 50 kilometers to Vienna. You think, well... It's going to take a long time, but eventually I'll get to Zagreb if I go this way. You have to go through the North Pole in order to get there. I'm determined. I'm never wrong. I know exactly what's going on, and therefore I'm going to keep on going no matter what. No matter what the sign is. I'm sincere. No, we have to have the right map. If you're looking to go to Vienna, for instance, or Zagreb, let's say, and you keep on going according to your map, you're almost in Zagreb, but there's a sign for Vienna. And then you get to Vienna, and you think, well, my map says if you get to Vienna, then keep on going, you'll eventually get to Zagreb, and then there's a sign for Brussels. You think, well, my map can't be wrong. Well, you got the wrong map. Doesn't matter how much you follow your map. If you got the wrong map, you're never going to get to the goal that you want to. So one should make sure one has the right map and then follow it and see if it's actually working. There's science on the map to tell you if you're actually getting there. So similarly, the yoga system, we practice it blindly, even the bhakti yoga system, without understanding what we're trying to achieve, how to achieve it, and the different stages of getting there, then we may not be doing, we may not be as productive in our progress as we should be. But that takes some sincerity. If we think, oh, too much, so philosophical, too much, you know. Krishna knows I'm a good person, he knows I'm sincere, so no matter what I do, eventually he'll bless me and let me get there. Even though I couldn't care less about what he really says, but somehow or another he'll have to make adjustments in the whole universe just to satisfy my inspiration, my creativity, because I'm a good person. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami's painstakingly giving us instructions, even about Ashtanga Yoga, because he doesn't expect that everyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam is necessarily on the path of Bhakti Yoga. But if one understands Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga in relationship to Bhakti Yoga, then one will understand what is the value of all these different processes and ultimately what they're trying to achieve. Person who's practicing Karma Yoga, there's different kinds of them. Or sometimes they think the aim is to achieve the heavenly planets. Sometimes they think the aim is to, you know, enjoy sense gratification in this life. Some I think is a process of a stage of going up to Jnana Yoga to merge in Brahman. And all those may be true. They're certainly true. There are different options offered to those practicing Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or even Ashtanga Yoga or even Bhakti Yoga. But one should see what the options are, and then eventually one will be able to make progress. Because if you try out all the other options and you're still not satisfied, then if you know what all the options are, then eventually you'll try out the real option, the most desirable option, and then you'll see that that one actually works. But if you don't know what the options are, then you won't know what to do, what to try out. And if you know what all the options are and you don't try any of them out, then you're just wasting your time also. Like one person asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, can you tell me about Buddhism? This is in the early, it's 670 or something. So Prabhupada said, are you a Buddhist? And the man said, no. He said, do you practice Buddhism? He said, no. He said, do something, practice something, just don't talk. What is Buddhism? Some intellectual thing, let me examine Buddhism. Let me take a look at the bottle of honey and lick it from the outside. So Prabhupada said, you want to find out about Buddhism, practice Buddhism. If you want to find out what it is, not just talk. The early people who came to America, the representatives of the Vedic culture or the yoga system, they were very properly dressed to look like Indian gentlemen. And they attracted old ladies on the upper side of New York, wealthy who were wealthy, gave them nice apartments, nice chairs in China. They'd sit around and discuss Vedanta. Wouldn't practice anything. They just discuss Vedanta and go back thinking that we're actually spiritual. Which is probably better than the other people that came along. And eventually, You could do any, have any kind of sense gratification you want, and it's all spiritual. You eventually get to the goal. As I said before, when I was doing a program, one bookstore that allowed us to do programs in their store, they had a whole bookshelf of Rajneesh, Osha. And I picked up one of his books, and the book was just full of blank pages. Because that was his final instruction. Don't read books. Don't read books. Yeah, that was in one of his books. So in order to find out you shouldn't read books, you had to read his book. So people became so, it became ludicrous after some time. In the beginning, it was just trying to attract some old ladies who can give some money and maintain the man in an opulent style in America. Then it came to the point of being less than an animal, so-called spiritual. So one is fortunate if he gets the right options, as in Bhagavatam, and starts choosing them, practicing them sincerely. And one is the most fortunate. Yoginam apisarvesham magadhen antaratmana sharavam bhajate samam samaya yuktatamo mataha. And of all the yogis who always abides in me with great faith, worshiping me in transcendent loving service, is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So one can practice karma, you know, karma yeva dikaraste mahapaleshu kadachina. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the results of action. Neither consider yourself to be the cause of the action, nor should be attached to not doing your duty. So that's for the karmis. You can do your duty. Don't get attached to the results, though. And for the jnani, is bhavanam janmanam ante, jnanam amam prapadyate, vasudeva sarvamiti, saramahatma sudurlabha. After passing through many births and deaths, one who is in knowledge surrenders into me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So Krishna says, if you're a karmi, then be a good karmi. If you're a jnani, be a good karmi. If you're a yogi, you should be a good yogi. And if you're a devotee, you should really be a devotee to fix your mind upon me through a devotional service. Maya Saktamanak Partha Yogam Yunjan Manashaya Asam Shayam Samayo Gramam Yita Gyasasitatra. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, how you can practice yoga in full consciousness of me, with a mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So the whole yoga system is to fix the mind upon Krishna, and that way one become free, one will become Krishna conscious and free from all doubt. Maya Sakta Manakparita, Yoga Myunjan Manashaya, how you can practice yoga. So all the practices we have are ultimately culminating in fixing the mind upon Krishna in devotion. Okay, Khwala. Any questions? Yes.
What does it mean in the verse he said that a yogi should bring the arrest his mind and bring the mind back and arrest it into the core of the heart? What does this mean?
Well, when the mind is not hankering and lamenting, what is it doing? It's kind of sitting there waiting for some instruction. It's arrested. It's in the prison of the heart, we could say. It's arrested. Arrested means, in this sense, it's stopped. It's not going back and forth between hankering and lamentation. It's more or less just experiencing. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Shinari Shinaru Paramad Buddha Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstapmana Kritva Na Kinchit Apikinchit Chintaya. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence. Sustained with full knowledge, and thus the mind should think of the self and nothing else. Wherever the mind wanders to, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should withdraw and bring it back under the control of the self. A yogi who has fixed his mind upon me barely attains the highest perfectional stage of happiness. By virtue of of his identification with Brahman, he is peaceful, he is happy, and his mind is peaceful. So identifies oneself with the mind, with Brahman as a spiritual being. And therefore the mind doesn't wander hankering, lamenting. It's satisfied just by being spiritual. Anything else? Yes, Ananta.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if I understood properly when you mentioned the example of Gopa Kumar and how he elevated to different stages. You mentioned that his travel was through many lifetimes?
Yes.
So many lifetimes to become a king, to become an Indra.
Well, at least, we can understand he was one lifetime a king. And then when he left his body, he went, in Jagannath Puri. Then he went to Indraloka, because his pious activities of being a king and chanting especially the Gopal mantra. And when he was in Indraloka, he was Indra there for some time. And after he left that, Indraloka, when he was Indra, then that may not have taken more than one, that could have been in the one same lifetime. Because the sages from Mahaloka came and visited, and he heard from the Brihaspati that these were actually, it was another planet. And therefore, whether in that lifetime he went there or they took him back to, but it's more likely after he left his body, he that was his next goal in life, to go to Mahaloka.
Yeah, because from the story it's not evident that this is...
It's the commentators.
Okay. Because in the story, impression is this is one lifetime. It just goes like boom, 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 boom. Some sages and goes upper planets.
That would be nice if we could do it like that. But we should understand it might take more than one lifetime. Therefore, it's better to just chant Hare Krishna, not wanting to go to Indraloka, Maharaloka, Siddhaloka, and Brahmaloka. Merge and go into the covering. It's better to just chant Hare Krishna and go back to this Goloka Vrindavan.
And when he met on different stages, he met his guru, right? And from the story, it looked that he was aware of his guru. That there's this continuum that if he left his body, then you usually forget, what previous lives.
Well, Krishna helped to remind him. I mean, I didn't make it up.
No, I'm just...
Otherwise, I think, how is it possible in one lifetime you could do that? It would actually make the story less believable. It was so easy to chant Hare Krishna and suddenly you're in Indraloka. Really.
That would be interesting. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaya Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.